This morning we have, I think, a very unusual subject, one which I don't think comes up very often. And we're going to try to explain something that will be of value to you in many areas of research. We know, in principle, that creation is a pattern of vibrations, that everything is moving at certain different rates within one grand rate that includes them all. This is true of solar systems, and it is also true of kindergartens in a school. It is part of life of everything that it grows step by step through an octave of vibrations. Now, in government, for example, all the different forms of government are subdivisions within the principle of government. The principle is the master vibration. And all the different forms of government that develop, good, bad, and indifferent, are conditions of this one master rate. And this rate has both its positive and negative aspects. The positive negative aspects of vibration in political or authoritative arts and sciences rests in the ability of various objects or beings to move through these patterns of vibratory rate and change their functions to meet these patterns. Also, wherever a pattern is met by something unreasonable, destructive, or negative, the pattern fights back. The patterns will never let evil survive. They will continue to negate that which is wrong and build up that which is right. Now, most of the patterns with which we are concerned have been functioning for hundreds of thousands, perhaps hundreds of millions of years. And they represent practically every phase of life. And they are constantly mutated and changed by the conditions of society. In the governmental system, of course, there will be the one theory that of government. This theory of government then will develop into 10 types of government, which normally will be sequential, representing degrees of defense and protection. These different degrees may be monarchy, democracy, communism, or whatever it may be, but they are all minor divisions of one vibratory master note, the note of political authority, leadership, that which must be controlled, directed, and protected, comes under a master rate. And this will go on throughout all the passages of creation. It was going on long before our planet was discovered in space. It will continue long after our planet is gone. For wherever government is necessary, it is reborn. The one master pattern comes back until it is fulfilled. And when it is complete and fulfilled, it means its impulses have perfected in manifestation and it ceases or transfers to a next higher level of vibratory rate. Now, in dealing with the problems of religion, which of course is our primary interest, we have to recognize that religion is one master rate of vibration. It has existed from time immemorial on many different levels, but religion as a principle represents the relationship between deity and its creations. Religion is deity being recognized through all the aspects of its manifestations. Therefore, we say that the deity itself is made manifest in its works, and its works, in every case, are rates of vibration. They are the degrees of energy and the specializations of energy that we find in connection with the theories of religion. We must therefore expect to find, and do find, 10 major divisions of the religious principle. We find this represented through the religions of the world, those that have come and those that have gone. For the religion is growing up growing old and dying just like any other entity. And when it dies only because it is completed, that there is nothing left that it can add. At that time, the development of humanity passes to another level, and a new power takes over. Whenever a power is complete, a cycle is complete. Wherever an individual, through his religious affiliations, passes from one level of religion to another, this is a time of growth. The religions of the world are a ladder, and the individuals, living things, climb the rungs of this ladder gradually until they have mastered the mysteries of the faith, when they have mastered the whole key to religious manifestation. Then religion as such is no longer applicable to them. It is not longer applicable because there is no possible way in which they can infringe upon the integrities of life. So we watch the development of religions, and we realize another interesting point that I think we should always manifest. Namely, that in all these cycles of vibration, there is conflict. Religions are in conflict because of the attitudes of people. The religion itself is never in conflict with another religion. But its followers, having developed sectarian allegiances, become in conflict with all forms other than their own. So we have a great struggle in the world over religion. Religion itself is indivisible. It can never, under any conditions, be violated. But man, in his ignorance of the values of life, is constantly trying to change universal procedure. He is seeking desperately to make a new pattern of life according to his own fancy. And the more he fancies, the worse his pattern gets. It becomes inevitable, for instance, that all these different separate new creeds that spring up by human endeavor must find their place in the pattern of religion. They may be a novelty. They might be something brought back from old time. If they fit in, they go forward with the rest. If an old religion is revived, it is revived because it has been re-stimulated in principles and integrities. It then proceeds as before. And those types of religion which have never been improved gradually fade away. Now we know, for instance, that In our modern religious world, we've had a great deal of pain and sorrow in connection with the religious life of humanity. These tragic episodes have nothing to do with natural law. The pain is due to what the individual does to the law. The law is never vicious. The law never revenges. The law never hurts of itself. But individuals breaking the law hurt themselves. They come into unfortunate relationships with the vibratory rates which constitute integrity. And their own misdeed brings down upon them an adverse reflex from the law. This does not mean that the law is personally accusing them. It means that there are things that are right and things that are wrong. And regardless of what happens, right is rewarded and wrong is punished. Now, punishment is not because of a malicious point of view, nor is it a result of an effort to dominate religions by some new faith or by strengthening an older one. There is no competition in religion, really, because all of them are parts of a sequence of 10 qualifications within a great octave of energy. All religions are compatible, and anything that is not compatible simply because it isn't part of the religious pattern, it gradually fades away. Everywhere we look, we see, therefore, the effort to grow religiously. Now we are beginning to see it again after quite a time. We remember the growth of religions as they developed within the memories of ancient times. Remember the wonderful centuries between 500 B.C. and about 500 A.D. There was a great birth time of religious beliefs. Things have slowed down somewhat now, and we are beginning to have grave doubts and reservations concerning some of our beliefs. If these beliefs do not work, they are not part of the pattern. If they are irreconcilable with integrity, they are not part of the pattern. Now, in the case of religion, the selfish, self-willed, arrogant individual believes the answer to his problem may be to drop religion entirely, to give up the problems of faith and do as he pleases. Well, he can do that, but he cannot escape the fact that he lives in a universe that is oriented to religion, regardless of what he thinks about it. And almost all the things that interest him in his atheism have some relation to religious values. Honesty, honor, integrity. All of these things are part of moral life. They are part of the great octave which we call religion. Any one of them being violated brings with it a certain inevitable consequence. This consequence is not a revenge on the part of the law. It is not a punishment by a being or by an intelligence against the person who has violated principles. It is simply that the breaking of a rule cuts off the value of that rule and leaves the individual in need of certain things which are bought only by that rule. Therefore, we must be rather careful in regarding any religion as superficial. Now, in religious life, we have a series of 10 degrees, from the highest to the lowest. The highest, of course, would be perfect religion. Religion in which there is no conflict or contradiction. Religious on that level means totally and completely in conformity with truth. And in that conformity, the individual, regardless of the level of his intellect, has no conflict with any belief, any integrity that other people may have. He will have the capacity to accept the search for reality and be very grateful for those who advance along that path. As he goes downward, though, through the chain of involutionary development, the entity becomes obscured, as we find in scriptures. And there are these wars in heaven and all these things. Now, there is never an actual war in heaven, because heaven cannot fight. The war is a conflict over what is heaven. The rulers of things, the ambitious ruler takes the attitude, possibly, that God should be on his side. If God doesn't appear to be on his side, it's a very serious shock. But it has to be. The truth is never on the side of error. It is on the side of correcting an error. It is never competitive. For all truths lead to unity. All errors end in diversity. Everything that is essential to our forthwith growth is going to lead us nearer to the realities we seek. And in so doing, is going to help us to be better people all the way along. Now, when we come into life in an incarnation or embodiment, we bring in with us the records of our own achievement in the vibratory level of religion. We bring our religion with us. Not our religion in the sense of a creed, but our religion in sense of an integrity. If we were reasonably developed in a previous embodiment, we will be reasonably developed now. If we avoided and evaded then, we will be suffering from the consequence of avoidance and evadence now. We will pick up our religious life where we left it off. We will pick it up with the selfishness and the unselfishness, the kindness and the cruelty, the strength and the weakness that measured it in the past. And the individual coming into life nearly always becomes concerned about the spiritual aspects of his own nature, because he is primarily a spiritual entity. Therefore, all of his material actions are karmic to some degree. They represent need of further experience to prove moral or ethical integrity. The individual who breaks the rule and suffers is taught a lesson. If he does not learn the lesson, it is repeated. If he does not learn it in this life, he will repeat it in the next. He will complete a mistake until he wears it out. But he will never be subject to a personal hatred. He will never go into hellfire and damnation over it. He doesn't need to. He can be miserable enough simply living with himself. And in so doing, learning that he cannot accomplish certain misdeeds successfully. So we come into life in various degrees of this religious pattern. Assuming that there are 10 levels of religion, and that within these 10 levels there are 49 subdivisions, we realize that there's room for a large diversity of religious differences and opinions. But in all cases, the basic integrities are the same. They come in a different language for different people. They use different symbols for different nations. They use different words for different languages. They come with all the differentiation that is necessary to adjust them to the consciousness of the group toward which they are being developed. So that in this religious grouping, we have not only all different types of orthodoxy, but all different types of heterodoxy. We have the world religions, we have all the theories and practices of our ancestors, and we have with it all a tremendous philosophical background. And that philosophical background is the basic background of the vibratory rate of religion itself. There is only one basic religion, never has been but one, and never can be but one, because it is a ray of the infinite. And the infinite only has one ray for that and never wears it out. The individuals living or developing within these patterns wear out their rebellions and come finally to peace with the law itself. When we come to at peace with the universal law, political, social, economic, industrial, educational, that law no longer becomes a frightening thing. We are no longer afraid of the values that we have learned to accept. We also have become aware that in the pattern of values, there is always a space for promotion. When we think we have everything we need and we are just so proud of ourselves we can hardly bear it, something goes wrong and we suddenly discover that we have to go on and do some more. And we have to keep on growing through this pattern of religion until we have completed the 49 levels which go from absolute negation to absolute fullness. The negation, however, is not the presence of evil. The negation is only the absence of the active participation of the universal law in the habits and practices of humanity. So we are very much concerned then in trying to understand some of the problems we have today. We have now a proof of many things. Statesmanship, government, is a unit. It is a vibratory keynote. A government is part of a marvelous cell, a unit of power. The government is part of one great vibratory rate, and it extends all the way from the perfect inconceivable government to the lowest possible local political situation. And all these things are harmonious. Now, and when we try to adjust to them, we come into problems. The individual trying to take a law of progress in government and kind of tip it a little bit to his own advantage, breaking a little of the ethics in order to advance his own purposes, immediately he is in trouble. There is no possible way for him to avoid the trouble. Because when you're walking with the law, there's no other direction you can walk without pain. So then the mistake that has been made is caught up with, and the individual has to change. Now a nation may go against the law. Nations have been doing that pretty steadily here in the last 50 years. They've all been out for the dollar and for power. And we watch them. One by one, they get into more and more trouble. They get into a trouble that will continue as long as they break the rules. Now, a lot of people would think, I would say under those conditions, that these nations that are in trouble are being punished by the law. They are not. They are punished by their own attitude toward the law. The law is not punishing anybody. It is simply failing to cooperate with that which is bad. That which is unlawful will never be supported by law. That which is lawful will always be supported. And if for one reason or another the support is delayed, it will come in due time. So we look around and we see nations in great trouble. And our first thought is, of course, that some heavenly power, some mysterious dictator, some grand spirit beyond our reach is punishing us for our mistakes. The problem is not that way at all, because the instrument of punishment and fulfillment are all under our own skin. We have within ourselves a vibratory adjustment by means of internal mechanisms to every rate of vibration that can affect us from the outside. We are constantly under the domination of a certainty that if we go along and do as we should, we will have no serious troubles. And when we start looking and we say, oh, this poor man was terribly punished for something that is not his own fault, then it's time to give another look. Because if we do and we search deep enough, we will find that each individual is receiving his just desert, not from the law, but from the loss in himself of the benefits and advantages that come to those who obey the law. So we have in our religious mystery today, we have many religions fighting for peace. We have many religions striving desperately to dominate each other. We have many so-called theologies that are martyring their own people and murdering the stranger for power and physical superiority. And some of these people are doing this in the name of God. Some of those who are doing the worst are doing it because they say God wills it so. And this becomes another interesting phase of our problem. God does not will any such thing. God does not will disaster. God wills success and security. And if man breaks the law, it is man who causes the disaster. There is no question about all of these problems working themselves out. But when they work themselves out, we will have to watch to make sure that we recognize the truth of the matter, that we realize that the law breaker breaks himself and no one else. That those who keep the law keep their own destiny. Those who obey the principles of growth grow with life. Those who block the principles are deprived of the growth which they would naturally receive. Now today we have a new spirit coming up among our people. There is a question coming more and more into focus that something is wrong with what we're doing. But we shouldn't be out there making trouble for each other. That we should be not out there pillaging each other or turning bombs on each other. And we shouldn't be making under-the-table arrangements to profit by all this. When these things all add up and they show a trouble, there is no deity sitting up above with an earphone listening to it. There is no one sitting out below who's going to report it to him. And St. Peter is not going to get up and tell him. Not necessary. The vibration set up by the person in himself as a result of his own action is his punisher. He thinks he can blame it on something, but the only answer is that it's his own fault. And he will continue to suffer for his own misdeeds until he stops performing them. This is a point of view that most religious people do not have. Most religious people believe there is some kind of a punishment that is meted out to them because of their misdoings, or because what they are doing is not in harmony with the miseries of the day. It is not true at all. Everyone is in harmony with religion, and having made an adjustment, can go on with any faith. He does not need to change his faith. He does not need to do anything except live it. And all religions have as their final code something resembling the Ten Commandments or some Sermon on the Mount to give courage to them. Almost all religions start by saying that man must be just, that integrity is demanded by God. Well, it's not really demanded by God, but integrity is there. And those who keep it will be rewarded for keeping it. They will not be rewarded by a separate deity off somewhere. They will be rewarded because their own bodies grow more healthy, their minds become more clear, and their daily lives become more constructive. The reward that apparently comes from God comes from the simple performance of a right action. And all right actions will be rewarded, and all wrong actions will be punished by the action, not by an arbitrary deity. Everywhere we are working with a universe of life. We are floating in the midst of an infinite field of constructive energies that go on into the infinite future as they came out of the infinite past. Man is an entity has been fighting against this integrity for thousands of years. He has decided that it was the one thing that prevented him from amounting to something. If he could do exactly as he pleased and conquer the universe, then he'd be happy. But it isn't going to happen. Because if he conquered the universe, he could only do it by destroying the universe. And in destroying the universe, he would have to destroy himself. There is no way in which the individual who is not interested in integrity can hope for security, peace, or happiness. Now, it's wonderful to think of it out in space, where planets and stars and galaxies move about an invisible axis, which will be there forever, perhaps. That all seems very wonderful. But when we come down to the personal life of individuals, where it comes down to the recognition that each human being is a magnetic field in himself, he is a vibratory creature. And his vibratory creature is the support of his physical body. And where he portrays the body, he damages the support. When he portrays or disobeys the support of the inner life, he is in trouble. He must therefore always bear in mind that he is an energy field, and that somewhere along the line, his energies match in with almost all of the major energies of space. He has an authority factor in his own nature, by means of which he attempts to establish a family or create a business. He has a political factor to elect or be elected to public office. He has a creative factor which is going to help him to succeed in some personal field. He is going to be drawn to medicine, drawn to law, drawn to all the different phases by the integrities of his own energy field. His energy field, if it is protected and taken care of, will take care of him for his entire lifetime. But the moment he compromises that energy field will begin to fail him. Now, that is what we have in politics today. We have too much corruption, and it is destroying the very purpose for which these laws were enforced. We are no longer thinking in terms of a just government. We are thinking in terms of profit and hoping to last until something falls on us. This is not a good philosophy, but it is coming. No, there is no deity that is going to fight with us over it. If we want to do this, we will do it. But if we do what is wrong, there is no possible way, by any force we can conceive, to get away without misery. There is no way of winning the fight against truth. There is no way of being happy in a world that we are making miserable. And there is no way of being happy in a home that we are making miserable, or in the presence of children we are neglecting. Every time we break the rules, we destroy some of our own peace, some of our own integrity, and begin to burden ourselves with miseries which become difficult. Now, the planet itself is a magnetic field. And in the magnetic field of the planet, we have all the elements, all the animals, birds, flowers, everything you can think of that has gone to make up this Garden of Eden, which we were given as a reward for some previous growth. But we are not keeping the growth up very well. We are now finding that this garden is a great temptation. This garden is rich, and we might as well get rich off of it. Our garden is bountiful of good. We might as well make advantage of every part of it. We might as well destroy its environment. We might as well destroy its natural resources. Because the main problem is to get what we can as quick as we can get it. It isn't going to work that way. Not because there's a deity to say you can't do it. But the moment we begin to misuse resources, these resources of themselves turn on us. When we misuse the resource of environment, it slowly turns on us, destroying by punishing us as a result of our own misdeed. No person is required in this. No particular being must hand out the punishment. The moment we break the rule starts to break us. And if we do not bend our way, we have to find it back again through suffering. So we have now a new century coming up here in a few years. A century which many people are hoping is going to do some good. And at the same time, another lot of people are worried about the probability of getting what we are deserving. And that's a pretty sad prospect, because we are not deserving too much. We are not deserving rewards for being foolish, stupid, and dishonest. We are not becoming successful because we are exploiting the universe that we inhabit. This marvelous compound cell that we call the planet or the solar system, we are exploiting it. We are trying to discover ways of getting everything away from it for our own advantage. And as we gradually destroy the cell, we destroy ourselves with it. The older religions and philosophies of the world brought out on the point that is perhaps still valid, and that is that the safest life for anyone here in this planet is the simple life. The good life is the life that is full of aspiration but not too much ambition. A life that is satisfied to live and let live. A life that is grateful when others do well. A life which helps those who get in trouble, even though they may deserve it. But even though, we still have the vision and the heart to do something. And until we understand the whole principle better, charity is very important. So we are not really working until we find that we are not perpetuating problems. If we perpetuate them, we will have them. Now, how are we going to know whether we're perpetuating problems or not? Well, the only thing we need to know is whether what we're doing is working well or not. Is our educational system satisfactory? Are the young people getting the education we believe they need? Are the young people themselves satisfied that they're being given the instruction that is useful to them? Are we convinced in our own minds that we're doing the best we can, or whether we are consciously and intentionally compromising everything because it's a little too much work? Then we have another problem that comes out of the same thing. If these young people are graduated to do what we have done, the years of the 21st century will be very rough on them, because we are now facing into the consequence of a personal and collective mismanagement. We are paying for the mistakes we have made and for the faults we have never corrected. We are also paying for an educational system which we have variously distorted in order to make sure that it would advance our personal desires. We are in the same respect with our religion. We are now looking for a religion that is going to help us to be better without effort. And this is not going to happen. And yet it's not possible where a group of evil spirits are going to sit there to make us uncomfortable. It means that where an adjustment is achieved by the person, the consequence is bound to accumulate against the common good. So we have to work all the way along with the realization that we are dealing with vibrations, that we are dealing with a continuous mass of living energy moving from one thing to another. This same energy can cause us to have dyspepsia. This energy can give us a headache. This energy can lead the desperate person to narcotics. And it can lead the more desperate person who found out the facts off of narcotics. We are in the midst of a confusion of desperations. Our world is falling apart. Nations are falling at each other's throats. Every time we open the book or read the newspaper, something's gone wrong. And we begin to say, my, we are the victims of an outrageous destiny. We are not outrageous anything except ourselves. We began in the early 1900s here with the policy of great wealth. We gained our great wealth by exploiting the immigrant labor at that time, which later, however, has more or less regained its position. But we are constantly thinking only of material success in a world in which matter is actually electrons. So whether we success or not doesn't seem to make much difference. The thing that makes a difference is the vibration that we set in motion constructive? Is it going to do things to make a better world or a better life for ourselves? Is neglecting our responsibilities in order to have fun going to pay off? And the answer is, if you understand science sufficiently, it can never pay off. Now this brings us to the realm of science for a moment, as to what is there and what we have to do about it. Science is working very hard to split atoms and do all kinds of interesting and phenomenal things, like putting people on other planets. That's very part of a nice little game that science plays. But there are other things that are more important. It's very important for science to realize that the very world in which he functions is a world of infinite energy, and that the only thing that is proper to knowledge is to find out what that energy wants. Because if it was wise enough to create us in the first place, it can probably tell somebody who listens where we're going in the second place. If we are able to use science to solve the mysteries of our own ignorance, it could be a very wonderful thing. If we could use science not to produce more and more contraptions to confuse us, but to straighten out our thinking so that we know that 2 and 2 makes 4, instead of 2 and 2 making great fortune somewhere. We need to have a clear line by means of which science, discovering the vibratory pattern of life, assists all things to keep that pattern, to obey those laws, and to fulfill the destiny which those laws and those principles have intended. There is no doubt in the world that the universe wants to have a happy existence. It wants to fulfill itself. It wants to have the success that comes with achieving what is necessary for security and peace. It wants us to learn to grow without suffering, learn to keep our tempers without being frustrated, learn to face the mature experiences of living without being subjected and neurotic. The nature wants us to recognize that we grow because it is the law of existence. And if we grow happily, we are happy. If we grow fighting every step of the way, we are unhappy. If we have to decide between natural growth and television, we must learn to select natural growth. Television at the present time couldn't be much worse. They say it can be, we're just waiting. But the answer is that all this type of thing, hour after hour, waiting and sitting in front of a tube to watch things that have no meaning in the first place, or major proofs of what's wrong. And if the proofs are what's wrong, we are not going to accept that proof anyway. But we should be doing things to learn, to help, to create, to provide. We should learn to take the energy we have in life and make it earn a destiny that is suitable. By the right use of our potentials, we grow. If we use one energy wisely, we will have a second energy given to us. If we may become master over our own dispositions on one level, we will have the strength to master them on another level. Growth is what is intended, and nature is perfectly happy for happy growth. It doesn't want miseries. But where every individual grudges everything he does right and considers ill-doing a vacation, we're going to have the same problem. But we are living in a universe of energies, absolutely impossible to violate. We are living in a situation in which we keep the rules and the rules keep us. Break the rules and the rules break us. There's no ifs, buts, and ands about it. There is no way of doing it wrong and being rewarded in happiness. So we have to look around and see what we can do. We're working with the school system. We're working with all these problems, but they're all being pointed towards the perpetuation of the present condition. There were little improvements here and there, a little better this and that, and perhaps something a little stronger in higher education. But for the substance of the thing, no change. The change is the thing that has to come, and the change is basic. We can put all the patches and all the postgraduate courses on that we want. We can build new devices, new machines, until the universe topples over from its own devices. But this will not do it. The answer is very simple. We will have to learn the simple facts of doing it right in the first place. We have to learn to use common sense and integrity. We have to use the virtues which our ancestors praised, even if they didn't keep them. We are certainly going to be forced in the next 25 years to decide whether we want to make our own mistakes and perish, or clear up our condition and survive. We are being given an opportunity for the best and most important improvement that is possible. We are in need of idealism. We will get it if we want it. We are in need of integrity. We will get it if we earn it. We can do all these things and meet the next generation, all the generations to come, with a clean slate and a clean world. We can recognize the fact that we can conserve resources, that we can control environment, that we do not need to poison the air, that we do not need to toxify all of our foods. These things are not necessary, but they represent little shortcuts to the ways of profit. And with these, we're going to have trouble as long as we have them. And we'll never be able to create a government strong enough to sustain us in our mistakes. It's not possible. And then when we realize that, then we'll stop making the mistakes and do it right in the first place. Now, in our little religious world that we are living in now, our own particular little world of hopes and ideals, we find a great interest coming up. A new world is breaking for integrity. We are becoming more and more aware of the necessities of cleaning house. And more people are willing to do it. Little by little, the improvement of character is becoming something generally to be hoped for. And I've noticed in many publications that have been coming along recently, the new ideas in schooling, the new ideas in marketing, the new ideas in education, they're all working towards the solution. Now, not one of the ones I've talked with have been thinking of doing this for the sake of pleasing God. That was the old way. Now, they're believing that the proof of the pudding is to please the universal plan of things.